And welcome back to AccuSports Stadium in Bell Fountain. We're at halftime. Bishop Hartley on top of Ottawa Glandorf, 21-14. Randy Reinhardt, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savoldi. Glad to have you aboard. We should mention, too, we know who the winner of this game will play already. It's been announced by the OHSAA. They've bracketed that the winner of this game will play the winner of the contest between Cincinnati, Wyoming, and Kettering Alter. So that will come next Friday night.
That is so nice to know ahead of time who you're going to play, only because they used to wait until Sunday, and then you'd find out on Sunday afternoon. It's like we're halfway done with our work.
It's not all the divisions, though. I think six of the seven they've announced, but not all seven. Now, first half here, Bishop Hartley, 226 total yards, 212 rushing, 14 passing. OG had 182, 77 rushing, 105 passing. 9 first downs for the Titans, 12 for the Hawks. 5 penalties for 30 yards for Bishop Hartley, 2 for 10 for the Titans. In the first half, Dixon, 12 carries, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Culver, 5 for 60 and a score. And for Ono Glandorf, you had Kaufman, 6 of 7 passing, 105 yards, also 8 carries for 29 yards and a touchdown. Beamer, 5 carries for 15 yards and a score. Nice, 7 for 33 and a touchdown. Larry, what are you watching for early in the second half from the Hawks?
Well, can their defense stop Ono Glandorf on this first series so they can have a chance to go up 14? A 14-point lead in this game could be huge, because each side will just try to hold serve then, and Hartley could walk away with this thing.
Mateo Agresti has it teed up near hash.
Here goes your pooch kick right down here about the 25-yard line.
And gives it distance this time. High kick, and the return's going to start from the 15 up across the 20, 25, near side, 30, 35. Knowlton all the way up across the 40-yard line to the 42-yard line before he's knocked down on the play. Hit made for the Hawks by Anthony Whitney, but a nice return of about 28, 29 yards, and it'll be good field position for the Titans to start the first drive of the second half.
Well, Nick Onika had the outside pressure on that one, and he got held. It was just right here on the sidelines, and he got turned inside, and there's no way he could get back to the outside, and they got down the sideline, and good return.
First and 10, Titans from their own 43. Something they've liked all night, a four-wide out look, and they split it symmetrically again with one back in the backfield. Just to look for Kaufman. He's going to go straight back to throw, looking, rolling to his right, still looking, and then he's going to take the hit at the 38-yard line. Had plenty of time and saw nothing downfield and got sandwiched right there.
See, Hartley had every receiver bottled up that time. They had man-to-man coverage, or it looked like man-to-man coverage on everyone, and they had a safety free over the top. So they might be playing a man under with a safety free over the top to help out on whoever needs to help.
Dixon and Kazmir helping to make the hit back at the 38-yard line. A loss on the play of 5, second and 15 from there, 35 seconds into the second half. Widest to the top now is Basinger. He goes there to the top of the formation along with Evan Kaufman. And again, two wide to the bottom. Knowlton, widest to the bottom. Kaufman on the quarterback draw. Not going to get away. Not going to do it. They just reach out and grab him and yank him down to the 37-yard line.
Ethan Amaya. It looked like one of those Gumbies. His arms just kept stretching out, and he grabbed him, and it looked like his arms were just going to go forever.
And also Patrick Gilliland
right,
coming in, big number 74, to help make the hit on the play.
Nice job.
No gain. Back at the 38, it'll be third and 15 from there. This could be a huge early statement for the Hawks on defense.
Absolutely.
Schreiner the last in with the play from the sidelines.
Hartley's going to be in their 3-3 look. Three down linemen, three linebackers. Looks like they got a...
Again, that four wide look, and Kaufman straight back to throw. Quick pop, pass wide open. It is Nice across midfield, 45. Sidesteps a defender inside the 40, all the way down to the 38, maybe the 37-yard line. They dump to him downfield. He picks up 23 yards. They had him third and long, and the Titans come up with a first down marking officially at the 39.
They ran the same rub route that they ran earlier in the game, only this time they threw to the outside receiver, and the inside slant man did the rub route. He kind of stuttered his feet, and it got the defenders to bang into each other.
Hawks putting three down linemen in the trench from the 39-yard line. Three to the bottom, one to the top. It's Beamer who gets the handoff this time. Looked like he had a one-step head start, too, by the way. Got it down to the 36-yard line. Spins for a gain of three. It'll be second down and seven from there. Daniel Beamer, 5'9", 200, and a junior. And they say basically he is your power guy. While Nice maybe is a little more zig and zag and a little more deceptive, Beamer's a guy that goes pretty much north and south and is their power guy.
Well, 5'9", 200, he doesn't give you a lot to hit. You know what I mean? He's built close to the ground and he's stocky. Looks like he's got some good feet, though.
He's in the backfield right now, the lone back. Gets the handoff again. Gets it to the 35-yard line, and that's about it. Got plowed right at 35, so it'll be third down. Hawks have been here before in a third down in more than just a couple. Let's see if they can close the door. Last time it was third and 15, and from the 35-yard line, this is four-down territory for the Titans.
It certainly is, because they're going to try to get at least half of it on this play, and it may be one of those little rub routes again. Two men out there with Knowlton and Beamer. Or not Beamer,
Nice.
But Nice.
Yeah, to the top go those two guys. Too wide to the bottom. He looks to the right. It's a little bubble screen to Knowlton inside the 35, the 30. Undercut at the 28-yard line, but where he goes down should be enough for the first down.
Yep. It was a tunnel screen, very similar to the other routes that they ran.
And there's a player down. I think it's Nice. Or is it Knowlton? Knowlton's down. Knowlton's down at the 28-yard line. He got pulled down, yanked straight down.
From backwards. And it wasn't a horse collar because the hand wasn't inside the shoulder pad or up around the neck. But he got pretzeled backwards. And that's not good. Looks like it's a right leg.
Training staff now just getting to him on the field with 8:41 left to go. We're going to pause for 30 seconds here on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Randy and Larry, hopefully this is good news for the weather situation in the area and it staying away from us. They did get that game underway up in Napoleon finally, and Ayersville has an early 7-0 lead over Patrick Henry. So hopefully that weather is moving north and not towards you guys, and we're going to get this one in tonight.
We should also mention, too, Ryan, that tomorrow night we know who DeSales and Hamilton Township would play the following week. They'll play the winner of New Philadelphia and Akron Hoban. So we know what's going to happen in Division 3. And those two regions, they would meet the following Saturday night. So if the Sales could win tomorrow night, they would play the winner of New Philadelphia and Akron Hoban. So hopefully tomorrow night the weather will be enough that will allow us to play. We won't have one of those days where we have lightning and thunder and rain and snow and everything.
Well, this goes back many, many years, but I just don't understand why they don't bracket the whole tournament and leave it alone. You bracket the baseball tournament, you bracket the basketball tournament, you bracket the tennis tournament, you bracket all the tournaments. Leave it alone. Just bracket it. Find a site. You can find a site. It's Ohio, for Pete's sakes. Find a site and let's play football.
Well, the one thing I think that hurts Division IV a little bit on Friday nights now is the fact that D1 also plays. So some of the more spectacular sites are going to go to the bigger schools, which makes sense, obviously, because they have the bigger gates, the bigger draw, too. I thought it was interesting this past week, too, that the Ohio High School Coaches Association, from a football standpoint, came out with their own statement about what the Big Ten is doing with the concept of playing a Friday night game, and the coaches were unanimously against the Big Ten cutting into Friday night high school football. And, Larry, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on all that.
I am 100% behind the high school coaches on that one. Listen, leave Friday night alone. You want to play on Thursday, you want to play on Tuesday, you play whenever you want. Leave Friday night alone. Friday night is special in America, in all the states, where kids and neighborhoods show up to celebrate our kids. And I just think that's important.
Knowlton being helped off the field, not putting a whole lot of weight on one of his legs, and that does not look promising right now for the Titans.
And he is their best receiver, so that's a big loss for the Titans. I hate to see that happen. I mean, he's an outstanding receiver. He's only a junior, but he is an outstanding player.
Malter, I know, has the upper hand in their game with Cincinnati Wyoming for now, at least up 7-0 at the break. And again, that's who the winner of this contest would play. So first and 10 now from the 28-yard line of the Hawks. Kaufman wants to throw, dumps it out to Nice, has an opening inside the 25, inside the 20, and brought down right there. Little dump in the flat to Nice, and Connor's got a gain of about 8 on the play, second down and 2.
Well, Knowlton's been replaced by Ben Basinger, and he's not going to be the same receiver. I mean, Trent Basinger is a senior, and he's 6'1", he's 165 pounds, but he's not the same receiver as Knowlton was, so it's going to be a loss
Yeah, Remlinger will check in right now. He's kind of that extra man in the mix as well, too. Remlinger, as we mentioned, was the backup QB last season. Now becomes a wideout at 6 feet, 190 pounds, and a senior. He's part of three wideouts to the top of the formation. Basinger to the bottom. Beamer in the backfield. Beamer's going to get the handoff and go straight ahead down to the 16-yard line. And again, there is not a whole lot of shake and bake with him. He goes straight into the hole and picks up what he can and then goes down.
And that's Marquette Dixon making the tackle again. And so you have to wonder, what is Alexander Blackman's injury, because he has not come back to this game. And that's a big loss for the Hawks.
So it's enough for the first down as they get it past the sticks, and it's first and 10 now from the Hawks 16-yard line. 7:27 left to go, a long time-consuming drive by the Titans to start this second half. They're down by 7 to Bishop Hartley. From the 16-yard line, the left side looked like it left early, no flag. And they get it down to the 14, maybe the 13-yard line. Did the left tackle look like he left early?
He certainly did, but it looked like he did. Now, as to whether the snap, it's a shotgun snap, so you're not exactly sure when the center starts the ball going backwards, but he looked early.
And Beamer is not real healthy as he goes back in the huddle, grabs his arm and his chest for a second.
He looks a little shaken up.
And he's going to go to the left of Kaufman with, again, a triad of receivers to the top. Remlinger solo to the bottom. And this time Kaufman's going to keep and get it to about the 12-yard line. That's about it. Well, Hartley's been here before on this drive. This is about the third time they've had him third down and at least five. Let's see if they can hold this time.
You know, Marquette Dixon on the tackle. And now listen, if he's going to lead him in rushing, you're going to lead him in touchdowns and lead him in tackles, I'm just saying that's a heck of a ball game. Because right now he's making just about every tackle.
Well, I asked if Marquette would get the marquee, and so far tonight he has.
Absolutely.
21-14 the tally in this one. 6:18 left to go. Basinger's got the play, gives it to Kaufman. He breaks the huddle. Kaufman brings him up. Wide to the top is Schreiner. Also to that side goes Beamer. Nice now in the backfield. Too wide to the bottom. Kaufman from the gun. Straight back to throw, looking left, now looking right, pressure on, rolls, trying to get away, throws it in the end zone, the pass is incomplete, as that time Nice had to become defensive back, and it's a fourth down situation now, fourth down and six from the 12-yard line. Let's see if they go for three.
They'll kick it. They need to come away with something, but this is a golden opportunity for Hartley. Regardless of whether Ottawa Glendor scores or they don't score here, it's a golden opportunity for Hartley to put a two-score difference on the board.
Tristan Maul is 3 of 3 from 20 to 29 yards. This would indeed be a 29-yard attempt. Holding is Nick Buckland from closer to the near hash than the far hash. And a bad snap scooped up by Buckland. Rolls, looks, tries to get away and brought down. He was brought down. Back at the 25-yard line, they allowed him to throw the pass, then whistled that he was down. But Buckland was a bad snap, and he was grabbed by the ankle and brought down after pressure from one Hartley Hawk right up the middle, and the Hawks able to get the ball back now and a chance to add to that cushion.
I'm not sure that it was just a bad catch of the snap. The snap might have been a little off-center, but it should have been caught and it should have been spotted. But
well, he made up his mind early.
Yeah, and then it just squirted through and Panic City, baby, Panic City. You got the big uglies coming after you.
So the Hawks have it back first and 10 from the 25-yard line. 6:09, 12 plays. They come up with nothing on the scoreboard with 5:51 left to go. Hawks, first down play. Ruby's going to keep off the left side. Had a little seam, then they shut it down right at the 26-yard line. Boy, it looked like he had a gap. Then all of a sudden, a couple guys came and closed it down. Logan Ballball was there to make the hit, and also two other guys coming to make the hit. Well, but Ballball led the charge.
That play just took too long. What happened is they had four down linemen on the defensive side, and they bunched up the middle, and it forced the play to go wider and allowed the linebackers to make the play.
Second down and 8 now for the Hawks. 5:24 left.
Look at this bunch.
11 close friends.
Looks like they're in an elevator.
Two to the top, allegedly wide. Coming back around is the wing back across the 30. That's Dixon across the 35, and finally whipped down at the 41-yard line, although he's whipped down, but he winds up on top of the guy that tries to tackle him.
Oh, yeah, smart man. Always fall on top of the tackler, and the tackler basically rodeoed him down, and when you rodeo him, you end up on the bottom.
Gain of 14 on the play, first and 10 from the 41-yard line. Great night for high school football here at AccuSports Stadium. Greg Savoldi, our outstanding engineer, along with Scott Rex, who's the top when it comes to stats. Ryan Baker controlling everything at the studios. The lovely and talented Larry Wolf, the brains and beauty of this organization.
Boy, are we in trouble.
Hey, Blackman's in there, by the way, at the wing. Toss sweep near side. Dixon, 40, 45. Boy, they just got enough of his left leg to trip him up as he crossed the 46-yard line.
Well, Nick Onega couldn't quite get his block. I mean, he held on to his block for a little bit, but he just couldn't put him away. If he could put him away, Marquette Dixon might still be running.
Not sure where they have the sticks along the far side, but they're off by about 2 feet.
That was Beamer on the tackle there, and, I mean, he came in off that block.
Second down and nearly five on the play again. They're going to go. They show triple stack to start with Blackman, Onega, and Dixon. Let's see if they shift out of that. Six on the play clock with five, with four. Handoff Dixon off the left side across midfield, 45. Down to the 42, to the 41, to the 40-yard line.
Now that time Marquette Dixon was one-on-one with a safety man, and rather than just bowling his way through and trying to run through the tackle, he tried to stutter step and go outside, and he allowed two and three guys to get on him. He just needs to just turn that north and south and just trust his instincts and know that that secondary guy does not want to tackle him in the open field.
Again, this is WVSG Columbus, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, where Bishop Hartley has a first and 10 from the 40-yard line. Marquette Dixon, 15 carries, 114 yards, two touchdowns, offset this time with Onega and Dixon in the backfield. Under center, Ruby. Toss goes to Blackman. Make that. It looks like it's Blackman. Alexander Blackman has got the ball off the left side, inside the 32 to the 31. So a guy that left in the first half. We didn't see much on defense. He gets the toss now at tailback.
They put Marquette Dixon up a tight end and then covered him up with a wide receiver on that far side. Now, I don't know exactly what they're trying to do there, but he was up in the tackle spot.
But Blackman picks up eight on the play, second down and two from just inside the 32-yard line, 3:15 left to go. This is the Hartley methodical drive that we've seen for so many years.
It drives you crazy if you're on defense.
Triple stack this time. Dixon, the third man through, first down, 25, 24, 23, 22-yard line before he's brought down.
Now this is what happens when you run wide, 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 wide in the first half, and then you pound them inside. I mean, these are like body punches, and it's wearing them out. Because you've gotten them tired already just running sideline to sideline trying to stop Cameron Culver and all these jet sweeps. And now they're punching them right in the gizzard.
You mentioned that they could wear them down in the second half, and that's exactly the scenario so far on this drive. 2:50 left to go. First and 10 from inside the 23-yard line. Ruby tucks, rolls, right side, 25, 20, 15, spins and brought down at around the 13-yard line. Good gain on first down. Nearly has enough for the first down. We'll see where they mark him down with 2:41 left.
It's going to be just short. Good marker down here. A little different than on the other sideline. I think he's got it then.
Wait a second. They marked it a yard shy, yep. And now they signal first down. Right. So mark it first and 10 from the 12.
They originally had it marked at the 13. They moved the ball to the 12, and it's a first down for Hartley.
Goes any lower, I'd sell.
No complaints.
Onega, the lead back. Dixon behind him, offset. Again, the little tight formation, if you will, again, from the Bishop Hartley Hawks with eight guys very much together in that front offensive line. Toss goes to Dixon right up the middle. Boy, he got undercut at the 12 and still kept his balance and spun until he went down around the 9.
That was Brady Coleman for Otto Glandorf, number 63, did a great job fighting off the block, and all he did was raise up off the ground and got an arm up and knocked Marquette Dixon off his pegs.
And still with that, Dixon picks up three on the play, second down and seven from the 9-yard line. Toss sweep, Dixon with Cone in front, going into a pile of Titans and brought down around the 6, maybe near the 5-yard line. Boy, you got big Nick Cone leading the parade there at 6'4 and 230 pounds, and then there were like five Titans. And Dixon, who's listed as being close to about, what, 6'1 and
215?
Yep, and he kind of got lost in that pile. The ball's almost touching the 5, so it's third down, and they need 3.
Well, this will be interesting here. We've got, this looks like the inside handoff here to Marquette Dixon or a jet sweep to Marquette Dixon.
Yeah, he's in the slot to the top.
It's a jet sweep to Marquette.
He's in motion now. Toss sweep. Coming to the wide side of the field. The 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1. Touchdown, Marquette. Dixon waltzes in with 108 left to go and make it 27-14, Bishop Hartley.
You knew it was going that direction because Nick Onika offset from his fullback spot to over the right guard. So you knew it was either the jet sweep or the rocket sweep, and it turned out to be the rocket. It's really the same play. It's just one you toss it and the other one you hand it. It's not that big a difference.
Third touchdown of the night for Marquette Dixon. 33 on the season now. And a chance to make it a 14-point cushion with 1:08 left to go. So we've had two possessions, one by each team, that have taken just about 11 minutes off the clock. And we've got an official's timeout on the field.
This is exactly what Hartley wanted. I'm not exactly sure what that was all about.
I don't know. They twisted the football. That was all they did. Our referee went up there and changed the position of the football. Hoffman to hold. Agresti for the extra point. They are mechanical on that. It's up and it's good. And the Hawks, after being down by 7, now up 14, 28-14, 1:08 left to go in the third quarter. Regional final action right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Randy, we've got a running clock out in Zanesville as Newark Catholic now has a 34-0 lead after a Kyle Gibson touchdown run. Of course, they're beating Fort Fry. And after three quarters of play, New Albany trails Massillon Perry 10-0.
Fry's getting cooked right now, huh?
Good for the Green Wave.
Dixon, 19 carries, 127 yards, three touchdowns. That was a 10-play, 75-yard drive. Dixon, the last 5 yards, 4:43 off the clock. And now they're bringing out a stretcher, by the way, for Knowlton. For that leg situation.
Yeah, that's not good.
Agresti, the short little almost onside kick. It goes about 18 or 19 yards before it's scooped up and corralled on the play by Brady Kuhlman.
Well, for many years, Hartley, that's all he did was onside kick. So they've gone back to that a little bit. It's just one more thing you have to practice. You always have to be aware of the fact that they might onside kick it, they might pooch it, they might just squib kick it or whatever they're calling it nowadays. And it drives you crazy because you have to practice all of that.
Now, Knowlton actually got onto the stretcher on his own accord, so he actually stood up and put his body on the
stretcher. Obviously, he has a right ankle injury, and they've got a splint on it. So
they're strapping him in right now. But he's talking right now to the paramedics. And Coffin back to throw on the first down play. The out pattern pass is complete and drilled on the play as Nice by Manley. Manley not nice to Nice as he gets it out to about the 44-yard line. Nice.
That ball is thrown behind Nice and to put him in a very awkward position. And Jade Manley does not break down when he tackles. He just runs right through you.
Don't forget tomorrow night it is DeSales in Hamilton Township. You can listen to that game as you can tonight to our game. If you leave your radio, stgabrielradio.com on the internet. You get the TuneIn Radio app as well, too, stgabrielradio.com. We thank all the people listening all over the country and all over the world right now on stgabrielradio.com. Second down and 7 from the 44, under 30 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Coffin straight back to throw. Looks on the out pattern, downfield pass, going to be picked off, but there's a flag. Culver's coming back the other way. It could be defensive pass interference. Culver, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, in for a touchdown, but there was contact with a wide receiver at the 39-yard line. It was 62 yards on the return, but I'm not sure it's going to stand.
Jaden Manley got his hands on the receiver. The receiver went out and up, and it looked like he got his hands on him and interrupted his path. But I think that's coming back. It's going to be a penalty on Hartley, I believe.
That could have been huge for the Hawks there with 13.3 left to go in quarter number 3. Our referee tonight is Charles Meekemeyer. The umpire is Bruce Dunn. The linesman is Michael Ryan. The line judge, Chris Hill. The back judge is Randy Eamon. It was 63 degrees at game time. I savor that thought because I don't know if we'll see that again for a long time.
Well, I can tell you by the crowd at the golf course today, a lot of folks figured this was the last possible day.
Pass interference against the Hawks.
I'm not sure what took so long.
I don't know. But they got into a little zebra huddle there and made the call and we'll mark it off. The flag was tossed at the 39.
What do they call a huddle of zebras? I'm not sure what they call that. It's not a flock. It's not a gaggle. It's not a...
It's a spirograph.
Ooh.
Of zebras.
Ooh, a spirograph of zebras.
Did you have one of those when you were little?
No, we could not afford that. We had crayons. And we only had the small pack, the 8-pack. Couldn't afford the 64s.
Well, you broke them in half and you had 16, right?
Couldn't afford the 64s. We had the 8-pack.
How many kids in your family?
10,
18?
Okay, 10.
Something like that. So the penalty marks the ball at the 41 of the Hawks. First and 10 there. 13 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Kaufman's going to keep around the right side. 35, 30. And marches out of bounds at the 28-yard line. Not sure why he took that route out of bounds, but has the first down with 6.8 left.
Because he's a smart man. He didn't want to take the hit. What that play was they ran a zone read from the right side to the left side, and then they pulled both the guard and tackle. So basically what that is, that's a counter tray play. With the halfback leading, or the halfback being the blocker on the backside, and they pull the guard and the tackle to the front side. It's the old counter tray that the Washington Redskins made famous years ago.
Gain of 12 on the play, first and 10. 6.8 left to go. They're going to mark it right at the 29-yard line. Four wide out look again, two to either side. Could be the last play of the third quarter. Beamer's got it down to the 25, and that'll do it. So as we head to the fourth quarter, if Hartley can hold serve, they can make it to the Final Four. After three, Bishop Hartley 28, Ottawa Glandorf 14. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Because you and the sunrise have a lot in common, the hope of a new day and brighter tomorrows. And because you, like the sun, can light up the whole world too. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we offer the very best in patient-centered cancer care. Why we provide a special certified nurse navigator to guide and comfort you every step of the way. And why we hold dedicated cancer conferences led by top specialists to ensure the best treatment plan for each newly diagnosed patient. You are the reason we provide social workers and dietitians especially for cancer patients, and why we offer education, support groups, and survivorship programs during and after treatment to help you live your new life. Because with each new day, with every sunrise, some people just can't imagine the world without you in it. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
The green wave has struck again. This time Hunter Chapman hits Mason Petticord, and it's 41-0, Newark Catholic over Fort Fry.
You know, we said that last week, that the winner of that game would probably win that region, whether it was Reedy or Newark Catholic.
Second down and 7 from the 25 of the Hawks to start quarter number 4. Kaufman, little screen action, and there's contact and a flag down. They're going to throw it against the Hawks at the 25-yard line, although I saw contact between the two receivers.
It's holding on the... Oh, no, they're going to call holding on the offense. Wait a minute, how can that be holding on the defense?
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going to call, but I saw contact between Nice and Basinger, but they're going to call the penalty against the Hawks. By the way, after three quarters, Hartley 292 yards total offense, OG 233, 278 rushing for the Hawks, 14 passing, 87 on the ground for the Titans, 146 via the airway.
Well, now that's an interesting call because it's supposed to be a screen pass because you cannot block downfield on a pass downfield. So you can only block on a screen pass, and if it's a screen pass, you can't have pass interference because the ball is behind the line of scrimmage. So that's kind of interesting.
But it's first and 10 inside the 13-yard line. Yep. Kaufman on the quarterback draw, trying to go to his right. Nothing there. Trying to go to his left. Nothing there either. And fights to get back to near the line of scrimmage. He's probably going to lose one on the play. It'll be second down and 11 from there.
But he could have lost 5 or 6.
Yep.
He did a great job of just getting back toward the line of scrimmage.
So it'll be second down and long here. 20 seconds into the fourth quarter. Hartley leads 28-14. They trailed at one time 14-7.
Well, Glandorf desperately needs a touchdown here, and Hartley desperately needs to keep him out of the end zone to keep that two-score lead, because if they keep the two-score lead and get the ball back, then they might run away and hide.
Second down and 11 from just past the 14-yard line. Two wide either side. Beamer in the backfield. Kaufman looking. Inside the 10, has his man, catches made, and fighting and churning to get to the end zone and getting there, getting away from the first hit is Trent Basinger for the touchdown with 11:09 left to go, and it's 28-20. And the Hawks had a chance to make the hit at the 9-yard line, but Basinger able to wiggle away and take it the last 9 yards for the score.
Basinger did a great job on that route because what he did was he came off the route and Hartley was manned up on him on the inside, and he leaned hard into it and then broke the route to the outside to create separation. Got the ball, broke the tackle, and scored. Very nice route. Very good job by the wide receiver Basinger.
Extra point time now for ball. The snap, the kick, it is up. 28-21. Let's see how inspired their defense is. 51 seconds into the fourth quarter. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
New Albany gets an 8-yard touchdown run from Akili Stokes, but they still trail Massillon Perry 10-6. And Lorraine takes the first drive of the fourth quarter for a touchdown. They're doubling up Liberty 20-10.
And here, Kaufman with a 14-yard pass to Basinger. Ball with a PAT, 5 plays, 59 yards, 155 off the clock. 30 yards and penalties in that drive. So 30 of the 59, half the yardage coming by the penalty for the Titans against the Hawks. And now it's just a one touchdown bulge for Bishop Hartley. And Connor Neese has it teed up at the 40. What do you do here?
You kick it where Hartley ain't. And there's a lot of green space out there.
And they go onside kick. And does it go 10? Boy, just barely does. Was that Boffman who was there?
Yep.
Wow. It may have gone about 9.5 yards, and Boffman was there just across the 50-yard line. I wondered, that's why I asked you if you do something special here, and they went onside, and that was a beauty. And Boffman was Johnny on the spot, or in this case, Jack on the spot, to make the play right at the 50-yard line.
The kick was outstanding. It rolled exactly 10 yards. That's the good news. The bad news is nobody blocked Jack Boffman. If you block him, then the kicker recovers the ball and you get the football back.
And again, in this game where football mirrors tennis, if Hartley can hold serve here, get another touchdown, keep going up by two scores and allowing the Titans to maybe cut it to one, they can hold the upper hand with 11:06 left season for one of these teams, perhaps. Ruby lost the handle, falls on it back at the 49-yard line. That'll put a dent into the offense for the Hawks. It'll be second down and 11 from there.
Well, it was the jet sweep that time. And it was going to be Phillip Cole running the jet sweep to the wide side of the field. And he is so quick that I think Mr. Ruby just pulled out from under the center a little bit too early.
So Cole will check out. Culver to the top of the set. Manley to the bottom.
It's Dixon time.
He's standing back. Deep part of his formation at the 44-yard line. He's got it. Hits midfield. Pushes the pile, but only can get to the 49-yard line, maybe the 48. Ball Ball, among others, making the hit for the Titans after a short gain of a couple, and it's going to be third down now. Third down and just about 9.
Well, historically in this game, Hartley has gone wide with the jet or the rocket sweep, and they've been very successful doing it.
From just inside the 49 of the Titans, 10:05 left to go. Toss, it goes to Dixon, 45, fights and gets only down to the 43-yard line. Now you've got a fourth down and 3 as he goes wide side of the field. Do you go for it here?
Well, I probably punt it, but Brad probably goes for it because Brad has done this for years. He just believes in his kids, and he says, listen, we're not going to play defense if we can play offense. Let's play offense.
Actually, they mark it closer to the 42-yard line, so it'll be fourth down and a long 2. 9:37 left to go in the fourth quarter. Hartley clinging to a 28-21 lead.
If Marquette Dixon could ever throw a halfback pass, I guarantee you this guy would, somebody would be open.
Backs offset, Ruby under center, and whistles and a flag.
Offside defense.
Yep, they were offside. I think we had somebody in the neutral zone lined up that way, too. So mark it down to the 37-yard line, and a sigh of relief for the Hawks. They can keep the drive alive.
That is a killer for the Titans. I mean, Ottawa Glandorf had a chance to turn the game around right there, and it's an alignment penalty.
Think about that. And think about the way Hartley tilted the table with Dixon on that fourth down hit in the first half.
Absolutely.
Hartley has done enough right now. Can they continue to keep on keeping on with 9:10 left to go in the fourth quarter?
This is jet sweep.
Coming from top to bottom, looking to find a gap to the outside. Dixon waiting, find the seam. 30, 25, 20. Tight ropes the sidelines. Did he stay in bounds? Nope, they're going to say he stepped out. Now he walks into the end zone, but they say he stepped out at the 17-yard line. But still, a huge run by Marquette Dixon of some 20 yards. And first and 10 Hawks with 8:55 left to go.
You know, it's unfair. I mean, he's 215 pounds and he turns the corner. And you've got 165 and 170-pound defensive backs who are fighting off of a block. And then they have to take on Marquette Dixon. That's called a headache. That's not good.
22 carries, 156 yards, three touchdowns. You said he'd get his 25 carries.
They're going to fake it to him this time.
And Ruby lost the handle again.
That ball never got up to him. That was a bad snap. That was low. It stayed on the ground almost all the way.
Yeah, you're right. And the ball's back in the 19-yard line. So they lose nearly two on the play. We'll call it second down and almost 12 from there with 8:40 left to go. Check the offensive line. Make sure everything's the same. Yep.
Everybody looks in place.
Look at the strength of the right side of that line now.
Mm-hmm.
Two wide at the top. Dixon in the backfield. Ruby on the delay. Hands it off. Marquette Dixon glides inside the 15-yard line to around the 14. It'll be third down from there.
Well, the thing is, now Hartley will take the field goal this time because it creates a two-score lead, and they would gladly take a two-score lead at this point. Obviously, they'd like the touchdown.
Well, it's third down.
Right.
And the ball's at the 14. They need about seven. With 7:57 and ticking, fourth quarter. Do you take a field goal, or do you go for it on fourth down if you don't get it, if it's close, and make them drive the length of the field? Triple stack this time. Culver leaves, though. Rolling is Ruby. Looking. Pressure's on. Rolling back to his left. Nothing there. Looking again. Now rolling back to his right. And brought down back at the 25-yard line. That may negate any chance for a field goal opportunity as Jake Kaufman, the quarterback and outside linebacker, makes the hit back at the 25. You're looking at a 42-yard field goal attempt here.
And that's probably out of his range. I don't see any appreciable wind, although there is some tailwind, but it's not significant.
The Hawks may eat as much time here as they can and perhaps burn a timeout. Play clock down to 10. Hartley 3-for-3 and fourth downs tonight. Play clock down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm sure they'll burn the timeout. Hawks take the timeout. 6:54 left to go. Well, they added this, took a second off. 6:53 left to go. We'll take a break for 30 seconds. CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Malik and Mallet, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Quarterback keeper has Maslin Perry up now 17-6 over New Albany. Not looking good for the Eagles. And in case anyone missed it today, which probably did, Fisher Catholic hired Doug Miller as their next head football coach.
Congratulations to Doug.
Hawks are short a man. And?
Not anymore. That's a big man that came in there.
Boffman to hold. Agresti near hash. Showing a 42-yard attempt. Let's see if he does this. With 6:53 left to go for Mateo, he's got six field goals on the season. There's the snap. There's the kick. It is up, and it is good! 6:48 left to go. Mateo Agresti from 42 yards out drains it. From 45 yards, I don't know, but from 42, he's got it. And the Hawks now with a 10-point cushion at 31-21.
Well, they may have to check the football for paint because I think it took the paint right off the crossbar. That baby might have cleared by 1 inch. It was over. It was good, but it wasn't good by much. It doesn't matter, does it? I mean, you don't get style points, do you?
No.
It's 3 points, and that is a huge field goal for the Hawks.
Cut it to two if it doesn't look great. So now the cushion is two scores again at 31-21. 6:48 left to go. Hawks with two timeouts. OG's got three left as Agresti hits it from 42 yards out. Eight plays, 25 yards, 4:18 off the clock. And what a pressure kick, too, coming from a kid. And let's remember that he's just a child out there. He's a sophomore at 5'10", as he nails the field goal to give the Hawks a 10-point lead.
Okay, he's back on my good list. I know he missed two extra points because one got blocked, and I don't know what happened to the opening game. But he's back on my good list. He gets a Christmas present.
Let's see.
Santa's checking.
If he goes deep with his kick or not.
Well, it's
I'm not
in
sure
the middle.
Getting a gift from you is a positive or not, holiday times. And they're going to kick a line drive affair that's fielded at the 42-yard line and down at the 44. That's the second kick that's gone to Brady Kuhlman tonight. And the Titans will have great field position right near the 44-yard line with 6:45 left.
I'm not exactly sure that I want to give Jay Kaufman the ball at midfield because he's got a rifle for an arm. I mean, two or three passes here, and they're going to be in striking distance. You want Otto Glandorf to use as much time as possible.
You know, a couple big plays that stand out for me in this game is Dixon with the hit on fourth down and Agresti with that field goal.
Absolutely.
And Dixon, of course, we're used to him being the hammer in offense. 11-13 passing for Kaufman for 160 yards. And on the ground this time, up across midfield, all the way down to the Hawk 48-yard line is Connor Neese.
I think the Hawks were thinking pass because with 6:40 to go in the game, you know, you think that you're going to have to pass the ball because you're down two scores. And so they hit him with a quick hitter off the right tackle.
Gain of 8 on the play. We appreciate those of you listening not only on AM820 but online on stgabrielradio.com and the TuneIn Radio app. People listening from all the surrounding states as well, too. We say thank you for that. Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky.
Couple from Vermont.
Kaufman back to throw, gets drilled, throws it long downfield, and the pass incomplete off the fingertips of Basinger at the Hawk 28-yard line. And Kaufman paid the price on the play, too, because I think it was Blackman that came shooting through and drilled him right after he threw the football.
That ball is absolutely perfectly thrown, and Basinger should have had it. And what he needs to do there is not worry about run after the catch, just make the catch. And if he just takes an extra step or lays out and cradles the ball, that ball was absolutely catchable.
Third down and a long one from just past the 49. Again, they go with a four wide out set, one back in the backfield to the right of Kaufman. Kaufman to keep. Kaufman has the first down inside the 45 and whipped down at the 43-yard line, but picks up about six on the play. We'll move the sticks and give OG a first down with 6:01, and as soon as they get the chains set, the clock will be under 6 minutes when they snap it for the next time.
You know, Kaufman, 6'4", 210 pounds, he's only a junior. I mean, this Ottawa Glandorf team's got some real good players coming back.
Yeah, Beamer's coming back next year as well, too. Knowlton, despite the foot injury tonight, he's coming back. First and 10 from the Hawk 44.
We'll just keep our notes from this game for next year.
That's what I did for this year, too, from last year. Little bubble to the far side. It's complete inside the 40. And Basinger down to the 34-yard line. We mentioned Knowlton. He's the leading receiver, but he's out of this contest with a foot-slash-leg injury. So they go to Basinger, and he's got a nice gainer to the 35-yard line. The clock continues to evaporate. 5:20 left to go in regulation. Second down and one from the Hawk 35-yard line.
And Ottawa's bringing in plays by Messenger system, and that takes a little while.
Triad to the bottom, Basinger alone to the top. One back in the backfield. That's Beamer. He's going to get the handoff and pick up three on the play to the 32-yard line, and that'll be a first down. That'll move the sticks. Wouldn't you think now that they'd have a play ready to go on this first down?
Yep, absolutely, because you knew you were going to get the first down. I mean, when I say you knew, if you didn't get it, you were going to run the same play again until you did get it. So,
but unfortunately for them, they don't. And Schreiner, the son of the coach, has to run it in. Now they're up to the line of scrimmage and under 5 minutes left to go. 4:55 on the clock. Two wide to either side. Beamer to the right of Kaufman on this first down from the Hawk 32. Straight back to throw. Quick pop. Pass is complete. And the catch is made. And the receiver brought down at the 26-yard line as it goes to Cameron Rendlinger. Rendlinger will pick up about six. Second down and four. 4:34 left to go. If you're the Hawks, they'll say, I'm going to keep it in front of us. You can pick up a couple of yards at a time, but I would think you would like to stop somewhere here. And so far, the Titans have not used one of their timeouts from the 26. Kaufman to keep off the left side. He's got the first down and goes inside the 20-yard line. They're going to mark him out right inside there, but that's enough for a first down with 4:14 left to go.
That's that counter tray again. They fake the zone read to the right, and the quarterback keeps it to the left, and they pull the backside right guard and right tackle, and they wrap him around, and there was nobody out there for Hartley.
If Hartley can't stop this, this may come down to a number of things. Remember the onside kick they tried before? Will they do it again? And also, remember, the Titans have not burned one of their timeouts with 4:14 left to go. First and 10 from the Hawk 20-yard line. They stack two receivers, one behind the other, to either side. Kaufman looks right, now left, now guns across the middle. Pass is complete. It goes to Rendlinger for a short gain on the play, only to around the 18-yard line.
The clock keeps running, and it's a 2-yard gain, and it's not worth the effort. I mean, you'd be better off to drop the ball than to catch a 2-yard pass.
And Schreiner's going to check out with a play now.
So they're going to lose 25 seconds or 20 seconds or so off the clock, and that's more important than the two-yard gain.
It just got to the huddle. Immediately they break it now with 3:48 left to go. Second and eight from the 18. Kaufman looking, gunning, throwing. Pass is incomplete. That'll stop the clock. Looking for Basinger at the 12-yard line. 3:40 left to go. It's third and eight.
Well, now you got to wonder how good a field goal kicker does Ottawa Glendorf have, because if they don't get this third down, they can still get the 3 points now, and you'd have 3:40 left to get the tying touchdown or the winning touchdown, because I guarantee you they're going to go for two. If they get this game to where they could tie it up or win it with one play, they're going to try to win it with one play.
Well, Ball's range is up to 40 yards. He's 3 of 3 from 20 to 29, 2 of 4 from 30 to 39. He's a soccer kid as well, too.
Well, then he's in field goal range right now, because it would be about a 35-yarder from right here.
From the 18-yard line, but remember the problems they had last time with the snap. Kaufman back to throw. Looks right, left across the middle. Guns it, passes, caught.
Great catch.
Inside the 10-yard line. Manley with very tight coverage, but the catch is made by Logan Ballbaugh, and it's a first down and goal for the Titans with 3:33 left.
Logan Ballbaugh had Jaden Manley draped all over him.
Quickly to the line. Kaufman back to throw. Looks right, now left, now across the middle into the end zone, and the pass incomplete. The receiver broke to the inside. Well, Remlinger, he was looking inside, and the pass went to the outside, so it falls incomplete. Second down and goal from the 8, 3:24 left.
That's what we would call in baseball a good miss. That's like when the pitcher misses the strike zone, the last place you want to miss is over the plate. Well, he missed that where nobody could intercept it, because if he threw that ball inside, it would have been picked.
Hartley with a late sub. I think Dixon's going to check out. Blackman's going to check in. Second and goal from the 8-yard line. Three wide to the top, one to the bottom. Kaufman's going to keep inside the 5, inside the 2, to the 1. Does he break the plane?
No.
He is not in. Down at the 1-yard line. 3:15 left to go. Clock ticking. Quickly to the line comes OG. Third down and goal from inside the 1. Kaufman, will he call his own number? He does. He sneaks in, and he gets the touchdown with 3:05 left to go.
And we have a football game. 27. And we have a football game now. Now, I got to believe they're going to onside kick, because the last thing they want to do is kick the ball to Hartley and watch them run out the clock.
Well, remember, they've got 3 timeouts left, too.
I know. So
if they can prevent a first down, they get the ball back. Ball with a very important extra point, though, here.
Normally, you would kick it deep. Normally, you'd kick it deep on this kickoff, but with the way Hartley runs the football, I'm not sure you would want to do that.
Buckland to hold. There's the snap. There's the kick. It is up. Three-point game, 31-28. It's come down to the last 3:05. Stick around here for the final of this one on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Do you have a child in college? Education First Credit Union offers a private student loan solution with your financial best interest in mind. Our private student loan features zero loan fees, low interest rates, the option to defer all payments while in school, no prepayment penalty, and the convenience of a line of credit. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Fry finally gets a touchdown, but Newark Catholic leads late 41-7. And with a minute left in the third quarter, Brendan White has a 1-yard touchdown run. Olentangy Liberty has cut the Lorraine lead to 20-17.
Here, Kaufman took it in from a yard out. 13 plays, 57 yards, 3:40 off the clock. Kaufman, 15 of 20 passing, 187 yards and a touchdown. He also has 17 carries for 55 yards and 2 scores.
Now, if he's a soccer player and he's lined up to kick it to the left, he could easily kick this to the right. And there's not as many defenders over here.
6 to his left, 4 to his right in his front line. Goes for the onside kick, takes that high hop, and the Hawks cover it at the 43-yard line. It took that high secondary hop you hope for, but the Hawks able to corral the football, and they'll get it back. But as I mentioned before, remember this, that the Titans have 3 timeouts. I want to say that was Cody Kirkbride that corralled the football.
It might have
51.
Been.
So
the one thing that could have happened there is he could have kicked that ball deep. The Hartley safety was at about the 22-yard line, and if he kicks that ball deep and it lays down around the 10, Hartley's certainly not going to throw the football down there, and you got to stop them anyhow. You have to stop them here. So that's the risk you always take as a coach. Onside kick, and now if you get it back, you're going to get it back about your 30-yard line or less.
If the Hawks win, Larry will head down to the field, but he will finish the post game down there. will not make him climb back up the outside ladder.
Oh, thank you.
First and 10, tight set for the Hawks. Blackman is the wing. Backs offset. Dixon's got it. 40, 45. Turns. Midfield. Dixon broke free. Marquette Dixon. Wade bye-bye. Touchdown. Bishop Hartley. 2:52 left to go. You put everybody in the box. There's nobody left in the secondary. And that time the Hawks found the gap. And Marquette Dixon takes it the distance some 57 yards for the touchdown. And a little breathing room right now for Bishop Hartley at 37-28.
We talked about those body punches. Well, that's a knockout right there. That is the KO because that puts him up 37-28. It's going to be 38-28, and there's 2:52 to go. And that's a backbreaker for Otto Glandorf. They took a risk.
Nothing they hadn't done before.
Nope. They just did it better this time.
Right up the middle, and Dixon after the first 5 yards. Smooth sailing with acceleration to the goal line. Agresti with a PAT. Snap. The kick. It is up. It's good. 38-28. We'll pause one more time for 30 seconds. 2:52 left to go. CCL Game of the Week right here in St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic university with an education that stretches your mind and strengthens your Catholic faith.
U.S. News and World Report calls ODU a top-tier Midwest university.
High-achieving students will want to explore our honors program or early admission programs to med school or physician assistant studies.
And some of our master's programs, including our MBA, are available with just one extra year of study.
Connect your passion with God's purpose for your life.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Randy, we have our first two finals of the night, and one of them is good news for the Catholic teams. Newark Catholic is moving on to the state semifinals. They beat Fort Fry 41-7, looking like they'll play Cuyahoga Heights next week. And Cincinnati LaSalle has beat Miamisburg 45-14 in Division II.
And here, Ryan, it just took one play, 10 seconds for Marquette Dixon to go 57 yards. Agresti adds the all-important PAT. Dixon over 200 yards again now with that run. 24 carries, 218 yards, and four touchdowns. And there's the kick, and it is high, and it is short. Fair catch called for and taken by the Titans at the 33-yard line. And that's where they will have their next possession. First and 10, 2:50 left to go. Now, the cushion is 10, but remember, there's still 2:50 left to go in this contest. Larry Wolf has already headed downstairs because it's a bit of a tenuous journey to get downstairs with the ladder and then working down through the stands here at this gorgeous facility. A two-tiered press box. And our thanks to everybody here at Bell Fountain High School for giving us a seat right at the 50-yard line. Albeit a bit compact, but there is a ton of media here tonight. So first and 10 from the 33. Four wideouts, one back in the backfield. Kaufman rolling right, looking, pressure on, gets away, throws, and the pass is caught by Neese at the 38, gives ground to the 34, and then goes back out of bounds, back at the 38 where he originally caught the football with 2:42 left to go. So they'll get a nice gain on the play as Connor Neese playing a lot more wide receiver than running back tonight, but that's the versatility of this spread offense that Darren Fox, the offensive coordinator, runs, as he's going to get a gain of about five almost on the play. We'll call it second down and five from the 38 with 2:42 left to go. Hartley up 38-28. Remember back in 12, his margin of victory was 10 points for the Hawks. Last year, they really steamrolled OG, although it wasn't easy early. Blitz coming from Blackman at linebacker, and the catch is made, and Beamer takes a solid blow to his back by Boffman right at the 38-yard line, and timeout going to be taken now by Ottawa Glandorf. So OG burns a timeout, and they have two remaining with 2:35 left to go. So we think they're going to have to start aiming downfield a little bit more. Down by 10 points, they need a field goal and a touchdown. Remember, there are many ways to listen to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on your dial at AM 820, of course, streaming live at stgabrielradio.com, as 81 folks have done at this time, with the TuneIn Radio app as well, too, and with the St. Gabriel phone app as well. We want to thank you for doing all that. Also, we want to extend our condolences to the Orsborne family. Dave Orsborne lost his mom, and Dave is probably Mr. Everything to Bill Messerly and the crew when it comes to running things at the station on a day-to-day basis. Your mother is in great hands, in God's hands right now, Dave. Thank you for what you do daily basis to make everything so special at AM 820. And folks, if you want to honor somebody, honor the Orsborne family. More information will be forthcoming about that. But what a great lady his mother was. It is now a third down and 5 from back at the 38-yard line. 2:35 left to go. Quick pop across the middle. Pass is complete out across the 45 to the 48-yard line. Cameron Remlinger makes the catch. 6 feet, 190, and a senior. And that's going to be enough for the first down with 2:29 left to go. Hawks looking to move on. And rapidly, Kaufman has him up the line. Quick pop. Pass is complete. But staying in the field of play is Jake Schreiner. Schreiner makes the catch, but not much of a gain to the 48-yard line of the Hawks. Not much when you're down by 10 points and the clock is moving with 2:14 left to go. Second and 6 from the 48-yard line. Kaufman back to throw again rapidly with the team up the line. Quick slant and great paw that time. Reaching in and knocking it away defensively for the Hawks is James Reese III. It was a slant pattern right across the middle. And James Reese III reached in with a right hand, was able to knock the ball away. Pass falls incomplete. Is third down and 6 now with 2:05 left to go. But I think when Larry Wolf talks to Matt Birchfield in the postgame, he will tell you that the Titans gave the Hawks everything they could handle in this one. Blackman's going to check out of this contest now. Go with an extra DB on a third down and 6 from the 48. Four wide, two to either side. Kaufman, little bubble this time. It goes to Basinger. 45-40 on his feet at the 35. Brought down at the 32-yard line. Roped and put down by Cody Kirkbride, but another Titan first down with 1:58 left to go. And again, Kaufman not wasting any time. Jay has him up to the line of scrimmage from the 33-yard line. Straight back to throw, rolling right. Flag down, looks downfield and overthrows everybody. Oh, and Cameron Culver thought he had the ball at the 12-yard line and went right through his hands. But a holding call is the flag that I mentioned. It's tossed at the 33-yard line. And I assume if you're the Hawks right now, you're going to go ahead and march it back again and keep them as far away from the goal line as possible. But we'll wait and see. Our referee is Charles Minkemeyer. And indeed, they will march them back across the 40-yard line to the 43. And at this time, if you're the Hawks, try to push the Titans back as much as possible because the Titans are playing against the field and against the clock right now with 1:50 left to go. Larry Wolf has evaporated somewhere into the crowd. We'll look for him shortly as he goes down the sidelines. He said it's a bit of a haul to get down to the bottom of AccuSports Stadium from the 43-yard line. Little bubble again, this time to Basinger at the 40, and his knee touch? No, he stayed on his feet until the 35-yard line. Larry, are you down there on the sideline, sir?
I am down here at the opposite cone on the Hartley sideline, down here by the goal line, and Cameron Culver absolutely could not believe he dropped that touch or that interception.
You just walked through the end zone during the live play.
Well, of course I did.
Pass is complete. It goes to Nice inside the 30-yard line.
If they throw me out, I have the keys to the car. How are you getting home?
Great job, Larry. You've done a great job all night, buddy.
Yeah, we're with you. Win or tie, huh?
That's right. Well, you get the gas money anyway.
That's right.
So mark the ball at the 27-yard line. Third down and 6 from there. Elements, have they changed? Still pretty mild down there?
No, actually, it's a lot windier down here than it is. I mean, it seems to be up top. It's the wind, I guess, has picked up here because it is a pretty stiff wind. So that 42-yard field goal was probably aided a little bit by that wind.
Third down and 6. Blitz coming. Kaufman looking to throw across the middle. Pass incomplete inside the 15-yard line intended for Nice. Nice wants a flag saying it was held up. Nice just actually stumbled at the 15. So now it is fourth down and 6. 1:23 left to go. And big play here for Hartley, Larry, if they can hold on this fourth down play.
Yeah, they need to come up big and put this thing away right now. It's a 10-point lead. And Jack Baughman's going in the game right now. I'm not sure exactly who he's going in for. A defensive lineman. So they're going to put speed on the rush here and try to put some pressure on this quarterback.
Yeah, they pull out a defensive lineman. They pull out Nick Dawes up front. Fourth down and 6. They're showing blitz. Look at this. They only have guys on the outside of the line. Two guys in the down position. Kaufman looking, throwing downfield. And has his man inside the 5, inside the 2, and brought down there is Connor Nice at the 2-yard line. Stays in the field of play. 1:12 left to go.
And Cameron Culver popped him. I mean, it was a huge hit. And Nice is not feeling very good right now. But I'm going to tell you what. I got to give this Otto Orlando team some credit here. Now, there's only a minute to go. They still think they're going to win this thing.
Gain of 25. I think the Hawks may have had 12 guys on the field. I don't know if they got off in time. There's a flag at the end of the play as Kaufman is brought down around the 1-yard line with 1:02 left to go. Now, Hartley had a 12th guy that was trying to exit the field, Larry. I'm not sure if he made it off.
He didn't make it off, but I think they just kind of looked the other way because he was doing the best he could to get out of there, and they were in a hurry-up situation. But it should have been a penalty on Hartley.
Well, there's a flag flag down on the play, resting back at the 13-yard line. So wait and see what this is about with 1:02 left to go. And remember, the Titans still have two timeouts remaining. And our referee says, yep, they caught him. Larry, they caught him with 12 men on the field.
Well, it's funny that the flag came from the other side of the field and not this side of the field, because clearly he was about 3 yards still on the field at the time. And the official on this sideline did not throw the flag, but the official on the opposite sideline did.
Where are you standing at right now?
I'm right at the pylon. You can see me.
I'm right by you now.
Mr. Official here. In fact, I'm going to grab a hold of him and make sure that he doesn't do anything crazy.
Yeah, holding on Larry Wolf.
Absolutely. Me and the down marker.
So it's first and goal inside the 2-yard line with 1:02 left to go.
Hartley's impressed man coverage across the board here.
Backs from an offset eye. Kaufman takes it off the left side.
He didn't make it.
He did not break the plane, and now they have to hurry up with 54 seconds left to go and get back to the line of scrimmage. Down to 45 seconds left to go. Down by 10. Kaufman again with the surge off the right side as he break the plane this time. No signal, no signal. No, he didn't score.
He did not
score. Take a timeout. You got 35 seconds left to go. They haven't burned a timeout.
They're trying to get the timeout. The officials aren't looking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Nobody was looking at the sidelines with about 38 seconds.
There should be about 37 put back on the... Yeah.
And they get the timeout with 30.4 seconds left to go. Well, still, you can complain if you want to if you're the OG fans, but, Larry, you should have been ready and you should have taken that timeout even sooner.
Yeah, well, the coach, I was looking straight across the field, and the coach was signaling immediately, but nobody was looking at the coach. Now, you're not allowed to come down here. And so he was yelling and yelling. He finally came out on the field, and they got the timeout. Now, they lost about 7 seconds there.
30.4 on the clock.
And you just hope that doesn't come back to determine any outcome here. If they score this touchdown, they're going to have to get an onside kick and go about 50 yards with about 25 seconds. That's going to be tough to do.
Well, and if they would go for, say, a field goal to tie this game, are they kicking into the wind or against the wind?
Into the wind. It is into the wind. So that's going to shorten the field goal by 5 to 7 yards because it's more significant down here than you would think.
Triple stack. Is this a decoy? Kaufman under center. Is he going to sneak it again? No, he's going to hand it off to Beamer, the second man through, and he takes it in for the touchdown with 28.2. So that took, what, just over 2 seconds?
Yep.
And now it's 38-34.
Well, here we go. We're down to an onside kick, and Harley's going to have to defend it, and Otto Glendore's going to have to execute it.
Extra point time, and again, this is huge for Tristan Ball because a missed extra point means that a field goal is not enough.
Yeah, imagine if they'd have gotten the field goal first, then you get the touchdown at this point, and you can go for two and win this darn thing.
Mucklin to hold. Low snap, puts it down. The snap was behind him, but he still did a good job of recovering, putting it down, and drilling it for a 38-35 contest, 28.2 left to go. And Larry, I see you've moved up to the 10-yard line right there.
Well, I'm anticipating the onside kick, so I'm going to try and sneak into the Hartley box here. Except I don't have any friends over here on the Hartley sideline. There are some ugly characters here that I know personally, and I have to be careful with my backside here because I could really get hurt.
All we need is a Wolf sideline warning at this point of the contest.
Ooh, can I get a penalty? This would be great. A Reedy guy getting a penalty on a Hartley team. That would be awesome.
No, you coached Reedy. You coached Hartley. You coached at Academy. You've been thrown out of a number of good places.
Nobody likes me. It's ridiculous.
Beamer, a yard run for the touchdown. 13 plays, 67 yards, 2:22 off the clock. All right, onside kick here. You have a couple of options. You've got to have at least four guys on one side. You'll have six on the other. Nice is going to go ahead and boot it. I see that Cone was going to be in the front line. See if the Hawks even perhaps burn a timeout now.
Now the whole world is on my side of the field here. It looks like there's eight Hartley Hawks on this side of the field, or seven. 2, 4, 6, 7 Hartley Hawks right in front of me here. I don't know which way this kick's going to go.
And now they widen out a little bit, although the near side, there's nobody here beyond Kirkbride. So the ball teed up at the 40-yard line.
Oh, here we go.
Nice and a whistle beforehand. Did Hartley burn a timeout?
Yes, they did.
I thought Brad Birchfield might wait till the last second. So they burned the timeout to go over the scenario.
You know, Brad doesn't have to worry about how he's getting home or how late he's going to get home. He doesn't care how long this game takes. You know, us old people, I'm about ready to sleep here. It's late for us people.
Now, Larry, could you tell anything from that formation and the approach to the ball by Nice at all as to where he's going to kick it?
No, because he lined up directly behind the ball. Now, remember, he is a soccer player, so he's one of those amphibious kind of guys. He can kick it with either foot. And, well, yeah, he's one of those. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, Joaquin Andujar, yeah. I remember.
And so it's hard to tell whether he's going to kick this left-footed or right-footed. And, you know, he was dead behind the ball, so that's why I'm down over here on the Hartley sideline. I'm trying to get a peek here. But I think Hartley thought it was coming to the other sideline, to your sideline.
I see at the 27-yard line. Get off the white there. Get further on the green.
I want to be in the coach's box in case they give me a penalty.
Try to raise him right.
This will be so cool.
Here we go. Nice has got it teed up. Smack dab in the middle of the field, the 40-yard line. 28.2 left to go. Hawks up 38-35. The approach by Nice. And dribbles it along the field. Does it go 10 yards?
Oh,
they fly for it.
And
the Titans say they have the football. We'll wait and see as they unsort the pile, and they do.
Nobody touched it early. That was outstanding execution of the middle onside kick.
Ottawa Glandorf is going to get the ball back at the Hawk 48-yard line. They still have a timeout remaining. 24 seconds left. Now, the officials are conferring. They are conferring right now at the 50-yard line.
I'm not exactly sure what they could be conferring because nobody could touch the ball.
Well, they're making sure, I think, that nobody did. Ah, wait a second. There was touching by OG. They say that the Titans touched the ball before it went 10 yards. That's why I wondered, because I saw, Larry, the hands go to the shoulder.
Yeah.
That means illegal touching. And if that was the reason for the conference, you just wondered. Coach Schreiner cannot believe it. And if that's the case...
Well, from where I'm standing, and of course I don't have the best view because I'm not standing on the line, but from where I was standing, I could not see anybody touch the ball early.
So that gives the ball to the Hawks, and basically,
it's over.
That gives them the game.
The game is over. Now, understand, with 24 seconds left, even if you get the onside kick, they would have to go about 35 yards with this wind to have a chance to tie it up, but you always want that chance, obviously.
Larry, they're marking the ball at the 47 OG. That tells me that the ball touched somebody at the 47-yard line.
Yes.
Even if it touches your pant leg or anything else, that is a touch, and I'm wondering if that's maybe the scenario, because the Hawks get the ball at the 47-yard line. The crowd not happy along the near side. Now, the Hawks take a knee, and rapidly OG takes their last timeout. They're going to say, you know what? We're going to take this all the way to the limit one more time.
Absolutely. You never know. You could get a Joe Pisarcik moment where you fumble the snap or you fumble the ball, and you never know.
It is an unruly crowd here from Ottawa Glandorf, not happy with the way things have transpired. Clock management could have been better, and that was an interesting call as well, too. And again, we can't tell from this vantage point. We're so far removed. And Ruby going to take another knee, and that will do it because they cannot stop the clock again. Under 30 seconds left to go. We tick down to 13 seconds left, and the Hawks will live to fight another day. Larry will stay with you for a second to see if Brad Birchfield comes to you first after he goes out there and talks to Coach Schreiner or not. But for the third time since 2012, the Hawks beat OG. This time it's 38-35, and what a performance by the Hawks. They were down 14-7. The officials getting a hearty round of boos as they leave the field now. The OG fans not happy with the way things transpired in the last 2 minutes of this contest, but for Bishop Hartley, they survive and fight another day.
Well, it was a gut check for both teams because it was a punch counter punch kind of game, and Hartley did it on the ground and Ottawa did it in the air. And I'll tell you what, it was two great teams going at it. It's no wonder they are both in the regional finals because they both showed why they got here.
The Hawks go to 11-2 on the campaign, and Ottawa Glandorf ends their season with that same mark of 11-2 as Larry is out there at the 48-yard line trying to corral Brad Birchfield right now. I see Coach Wooten near you.
Yep, here's Brad right here.
All right, let's go down to the field right now, and Larry, take it away.
Congratulations, Brad Birchfield, on a tough regional championship victory. But when you get to game 13, there are no pretenders left. They're all good enough to win, aren't they?
No, you play Western Buckeye League champion, and it's kind of like how the games have been. It's how the games we've been when we played these guys. These guys are warriors, and it was a great game. And, you know, really, it was just a terrific ball game.
Outstanding game. Your offense in the first half went wide, 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 and I think you kind of wore them out a little bit. And then you got a gut punch in there at the end there with Marquette going right down the pipe. Talk to us about Marquette Dixon.
He played great. The offensive line played great. They had a great scheme where they were really trying to take away power for a while, but I don't know if you can do that the whole game. Really, the quarterback played great. Number three played fantastic. I mean, we at one point, when he scored at the end, I think we had three guys covering him, and they were Manley, Dixon, and Culver, three of our best dudes. So hats off to them. They did a great job.
You ran your speed on the outside with Cameron Culver, and then you used Marquette Dixon on the jet and the rocket sweep too early, and it stretched their defense and allowed you to run inside late.
Yes, Is that a question?
Yeah, it was a question.
I'm confirming what you're saying. Yeah, they had a great plan, though, too. They got a couple of really key stops, and I think them holding us to a field goal there in the fourth quarter was really changed the momentum of the game, because we go in there and score. You know, when we took that sack, that was really the game changer outside of the, you know, outside of the 800 receptions number 35 and 3 had. They obviously had a lot of bad luck. Obviously, 35 going down. He was having an outstanding game, and I don't know what happened last play. It looked like they did touch it, but I can't. I don't know. Is anyone confirming or denying in this group?
Well, I can assure you I had the worst seat in the house because I couldn't see anybody. I was watching. We're all getting paid, and I couldn't tell anything. So, well, look, Brad, I'll let you talk to the rest of the media here. Congratulations on another regional championship, and it's on to the Final Four next week. Congratulations.
Alter? I know it was tied. It was tied at that point. So we'll have to play better next week, but the beauty of it, we got a week to play better.
Game 14. Congratulations, Brad Birchfield.
Long year.
Larry Wolf, kind of like the Helen Thomas of media down there, asking all the questions then, and now the rest of the media go in there to the huddle to talk to Brad Birchfield. Larry, you can stay down there if you want to. We'll do a post-game show here in just a minute, or maybe you can come up top, because we're going to throw it back in just a moment to Ryan Baker after break. Ryan's going to have all the scores that you need, so Larry, if you want to, you can head back up upstairs as we get ready to throw it to Ryan in a commercial break. We'll remind you, you're listening to WVSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20. Hartley survives 38-35. We'll take a break. When we come back, Ryan Baker will have the scores from the contest, and after that, Larry and I will wrap it up one final time from AccuSports Stadium. Hartley, 38. Ottawa Glendore, 35. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because your heart is what really makes your world go round. And because you have touched the hearts of others in ways no one else can. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason we are constantly adopting new heart care treatments. Why we've assembled the best in the treatment of heart and vascular disease. And why we provide specially trained clinicians for the most serious heart patients. So you can receive the special care you need. Every step of the way, through your hospital treatment, and after you return home, so you can get back to the life you love. At Mount Carmel, you'll receive the best heart care from a dedicated team that's always focused on you. Because there's no one else like you, and no other heart quite like yours. Mount Carmel, because of you. Learn more about our patient-centered care at mountcarmelhealth.com.
Scholarships are available from Education First Credit Union. With the fast rising cost of college tuition, free money is as important as ever. Education First has awarded over $140,000 in scholarships to deserving students. To learn more about Education First Credit Union or to request a scholarship application, contact us today. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
What a game for a regional championship. I don't think you would want it any other way, especially if you're the Hartley Hawks. Hartley knocking off Ottawa Glandorf tonight, 38-35, and they are the Division IV Region 14 champs, moving on to play in the state semifinals and the Final Four next Friday night. And we'll have it for you right here on AM 820. Ryan Baker back in the AM 820 studios. And let's get you caught up to date on all of the playoff action that happened in the first night of regional final night. Again, congratulations to the Hawks moving on to the Final Four next week. Also, congratulations to Newark Catholic. They are the Division VI Region 23 champs as they knock off Fort Fry tonight 41-7. The Green Wave recover a fumble on the opening play of the game and never look back. So congratulations to Coach Franks in the game. Next Friday night, they will play Cuyahoga Heights, who knocked off Kirtland tonight in Region 21. 17-0. Let's go back now to Division I and get you updated on the local teams in the area. Olentangy Liberty has trailed most of the game, but with less than 5 minutes left, they have the ball in a 24-20 lead over Lorain. Brendan White with a touchdown run and a touchdown pass to give Liberty the lead in that one. That, of course, in Region 2. They, if they win, will take on the winner of Region 1. And, man, it is a great game up in Bedford tonight. St. Ignatius and St. Edwards are tied at 31 right now. So if Liberty can hang on, they'll play the winner of that one. And looks like they're going to have an exciting finish up in Bedford. In Region 3, Huber Heights Wayne has just scored as we came back on the air. They have a 14-7 lead over Pickerington Central right now, and that game being played out in London. So the Tigers trail late in that one. The winner of that game will play the winner of Region 4. That was Sycamore. They knocked off Cincinnati St. X tonight, 28-14. In Division 2, New Albany's great season has come to an end. They fall tonight to Massillon Perry, 17-6. Too many turnovers for New Albany to overcome as they fall, finish the year at 9-4. In Region 5, Warren Harding has a 21-17 lead over Hudson. Region 6, Anthony Wayne is your champ. They beat Olmsted Falls tonight, 38-31. And the two-time defending Division 2 state champ is moving on to the Final Four as well. Your Region 8 champion is LaSalle. They knock off Miamisburg, 45-14. In Region 14, it looks like Hartley will be playing Kettering Alter next week. They have a 28-7 lead over Wyoming in that one. Wyoming just scoring, but it has been all Alter so far in that game. So it looks like the Hawks in Alter next Friday night, right here on AM 820. In Region 13, in Division 4, Perry has a 15-6 lead over Notre Dame Cathedral late in that game. And this one has just gone final. Steubenville, they'll be heading back to the state semifinals. They knock off Shelby tonight in Region 15, 29-15. Division 6, we mentioned already, Newark Catholic and Cuyahoga Heights will be one semifinal next week. The other semifinal still yet to be determined, as they had a late start up in Napoleon for the Patrick Henry Ayersville game due to lightning. Patrick Henry has just taken a 14-10 lead in that one, and the winner of that game will take on Marion Local as they roll into another Final Four, 26-15. They beat Mechanicsburg tonight over in Sydney. So, guys, we're set up for another great weekend of football next weekend already, it looks like, with that Hartley and Alter game. But tomorrow, we'll see if we'll have football next Saturday as DeSales and Hamilton Township battle for the Region 11 final. And hopefully we have a game just as good as we had tonight.
Ryan, thanks for everything. Another great job on your part back in the studios of AMA 20. We have the final numbers in this contest, and actually OG outgained Hartley 380-345. Hawks at 331 rushing, 14 passing, 117 on the ground for the Titans, 263 passing. First downs, there was a boatload, 23 for OG, 20 for Hartley, 3 penalties for 20 yards for the Titans, 8 for 61 for the Hawks, and not a turnover in the entire contest, Larry. And in this game, you look at it individually, Dixon, 24 carries, 218 yards, rather, and 4 touchdowns. Culver, 5 carries for 60 and a touchdown. Ruby had 7 carries for 35 yards. He was 2 of 3 passing for 14 yards for Ottawa Glendore. It was Kaufman, 23 of 30 passing, 263 yards and a touchdown. He had 19 carries for 55 yards and 2 scores. Nice, 8 catches for 96 yards. He also had 8 carries for 41 yards. Hartley saw Ottawa Glendore score 21 points in that fourth quarter, but the Hawks hang on to win it 38-35. And Larry, your final thoughts about this contest?
Well, Hartley's offense was able to maintain serve. They were able to score when they needed to score, and their defense was able to do just enough. They kept them out of the end zone a long time down there. If you stop and think, if they score on first down, they save about 40 seconds, and that makes that onside kick even tougher. And I was standing on the sidelines as I reported from down there that I didn't see anybody touch it. As a longtime official, I can tell you the last thing you want to do is do anything to determine an outcome. So if you're the official on the play, you obviously had to see it be touched, or you wouldn't make. It's easier not to make the call than to make the call. So,
and again, like I said, it doesn't have to be the hands.
No,
it could be a shoe, anything. So you can think you didn't touch it, right. But if it hit somebody's pant leg or something, then it counts.
What a great game! Great game by both teams.
So 38-35 the final. Again, we'll have action tomorrow night as DeSales takes on Hamilton Township. We'll have the pregame show starting at 6:45, kickoff at 7. If I were guessing right now and Alter wins that contest, I'm wondering if Hartley could play Alter somewhere like perhaps London, because I think Welcome Stadium might be too far, and I think that would be used for Division I, I would think.
Yeah.
London is hosting that Pickerington Central contest tonight.
Could be down at a place like Chile. Could be somewhere down in there, too. I mean, there's, there are several places between here and Cincinnati. I mean, it's...
Sir, get warm.
It's beautiful
out
there tonight.
You have to drive me home now, too.
Oh, I don't think so.
And Scott,
Uber.
Too.
Call Uber, baby. Call Uber.
Great job tonight by Larry and Scott Rex and also Greg Savaldi. And most importantly, we thank you and God. What a great night of high school football. Bishop Hartley was on to the state semis, getting the win 38-35 over Ottawa Glandorf. I'm Randy Reinhart saying good night and God bless.
You have been listening to the CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week has been brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight was Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Join us again tomorrow night for a Division III Region 11 finale as DeSales takes on Hamilton Township at Upper Arlington. The coverage beginning at 6:45 with the pregame show. Good night, everybody.